This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. You know, for families, the start of the school year often spells end of summer dread for kids and sweet relief for parents. But this school year, things are a little different. When daily routines have radically shifted because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the Delta variant, adds a new level of complexity and anxiety. Today, we complete this week's Back to School series, beginning with WBUR education reporter Carrie Young. She has got her ear to the ground talking to teachers, parents, administrators, and more about how they are navigating all of this. Now, later, we will check in with a school nurse as she gears up for the new school year. But first, Carrie, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Tiziana. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. So, Carrie, we have heard from two educators already this week. I know you spend a lot of time talking to parents and families. So how about them? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some mixed feelings out there among parents. And sometimes, depending on where you fall, they can be strong feelings. There's this group of parents who are like not only excited to have their kids back in school, but they feel really strongly that their kids return without a mask mandate. I know I've heard several of them protesting outside of recent state board of education meetings, so they feel very strongly. You also have a lot of families who fall down the middle who feel like schools are being pretty safe, and you know, they also feel good about the effectiveness of masks. And then you also have parents on the other side who are really, really nervous about this upcoming school year, especially parents with kids who are either too young to get vaccinated, or maybe they have someone with a comorbidity in their house. So it can really, really vary.
So most schools are returning fully in person this year, Carrie. There's a growing patchwork of local and then state mandates to help that happen safely. Are parents mostly on board, or are some seeking alternatives?
Well, I would say parents are mostly on board with mask mandates. You know, there is a very vocal contingency of people out there who equate mask mandates to child abuse, but this statewide directive about masks was pretty widely supported. Now, that being said, we are seeing an uptick in parents who are, you know, still very nervous about going back to school, and they're looking into some homeschooling options this year, or opting for the virtual schools that are already exist in the state. And when I say virtual schools, I mean the ones that have existed before COVID. There were two of them. They've been around since the early 2010s. And this year, there's a wait list of about 1,000 students between the two of them that are out there.
So we have talked to the superintendent of Chelsea Schools. We talked to her yesterday. On this virtual schools thing, they are one of only 7 districts with a virtual school this year. Do we know more about virtual schooling, how it's set to unfold, these new virtual schools?
Yeah, you know, so I listened to that interview with Superintendent Abeda yesterday, and, she was saying that it's something that they're going to start small with and kind of learn and go from there. And I think that's what we're going to see going forward among other districts that were approved to have a virtual school, and maybe even, you know, if that number ends up growing. One of the surprising findings that came out of this great remote learning experiment during the pandemic is that some students actually thrive in that environment. So I think educators will continue to use what they learned from the last year and a half and try to build on it.
So you follow teachers' unions too, Carrie. They were really active in pushing for mandatory COVID vaccinations for all public school employees and eligible students. The governor has issued a statewide vaccine mandate for public employees, but it doesn't include teachers. Is that the top priority for teachers' unions right now? And if not, what is?
I mean, it's definitely among the top concerns. I know negotiations are going on for a lot of teachers' unions. The Boston Teachers Union has also, you know, been working to negotiate a new contract. So by and large, though, this concern around whether it's vaccinations or masks, et cetera, it's around workplace safety. I've also seen a lot of talk among union members about pushing for better ventilation in their old building. So also in Boston, you know, outside of that workplace safety kind of realm, the union is also making student needs a top priority. One thing they're pushing for has been, you know, for the district to provide extra support staff for students that both have a disability and have an English learning need.
So just briefly, Governor Baker has said He's hesitant to impose something like a statewide vaccine mandate in schools, wanting to keep that at the local level. Do you anticipate that changing, or how do you think that push and pull could play out as the school year goes on?
Ooh, I would love to tell you I could predict that, especially given all of the surprises that that the COVID pandemic has thrown our way. I think a lot of school leaders and even policymakers were anticipating that after the vaccines came out last spring and were widely available, you know, a lot of the concern about COVID safety would diminish, is what people were hoping for, at least. But the Delta variant has really dramatically changed the game. And so I think some of the decisions about when something should be left to local control versus being state mandated, it's still going to be somewhat political now. It did take the Baker administration quite a while to institute a mask mandate across the public school system. You know, they said it first, that's a local decision. It needs to stay local, and change their mind. So in theory, state leaders say a lot that they like to leave as much as they can up to local control, but they are taking hard lines on things too, you know, just like not having virtual options in a lot of district schools. So it depends on the issue, and I think it depends on the political pressure behind it.
Okay, Carrie, sit tight for a few, please. We'll come back to you, but I want to introduce another voice. We caught up this morning with Marta Bozmer, a school nurse at Boston Green Academy, which is a 6-12 school in Brighton. Marta's first day of school is next week, but they are in the building and getting ready. I started by asking her how she's feeling about this return to school.
I think mixed emotions, mixed feelings. I think on one end, I have just seen the importance of having kids in school, and I do know what that means. It's like a huge ask, but it's so important. It's like vital. So I'm feeling excited to try to get it going again and, you know, kind of go with it, right? Roll with the punches and see if we can make this work. But I'm also a little nervous, you know, COVID and Delta variant kind of increasing the numbers of kids is a little worrisome, but I think I'm ready.
With the policies that are in place, do you feel like it's as safe an environment as it can be to bring kids back into the buildings?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, as a nurse, I just live by policies. I actually love a policy, you know, just this is what you do and this is why. This is why this is here, and understanding just how important safety, health and safety is like number one. I saw Boston Public do so many great things last year in just trying to make it work and trying to make it happen. I think the only concern I would have is, from what I've seen so far, everything really like lined up with what we had last year, except for I think they're working on having each school have a medical waiting room. That's the one thing I can say for sure is something that I think every school needs that we don't actually have in place just yet. It was a recommendation by DESE, I think, at the end of July. So hopefully every school can, if it's not a mandate, they can at least put it in place. Each school should have one of those. So medical waiting room is the one thing that I think for policies just needs to be set up so it's ready to go for next week for first day.
And just to clarify, DESE is Department, elementary and secondary education.
Correct. Yep.
All right. So as you're looking ahead to next week, Marta, is there a student, a kid in particular, who's kind of in your mind as the symbol of who's coming back and the experience you want them to have?
Oh, I love that you said that. Yes. Yeah, I can picture. So my daughter went here. She's a graduate, 2020, probably the hardest year to graduate from high school, I think, ever. So when I think about her class and them not being able to be in the building for all these huge life moments, I then picture every other senior that's coming back in. And I like love these kids. A lot of them were here from sixth grade, so I really know them. Mm. And I can see like 20 of them right now. I know how bad they want to be here. So I want them to be here, but to feel like they're safe here, and that their families feel that they're safe here. So I know my job is to really focus on that. Well, I want them to have a good time and be in school and have it feel like the norm. I know it's not the norm, but I would like to pretend a little bit that they can feel that way and be here. And I can definitely picture, it's just like huge smiles. When kids come in, they're just, it's like, oh my gosh, I miss you so much. That happens right away.
That's so great. So as a nurse, you are in the epicenter of the experience we're having. Can you kind of compare and contrast for me what your workday pre-pandemic was like and what it's like now to work as a school nurse?
You know, pre-pandemic was a lot less stress. You know, definitely lots of visits to the nurse. You know, you see in a little bit of everything. But there was a lot more comfort in being able to spend time and more time with kids. Because, like, part of being a nurse, especially a school nurse, is building trust, building relationships. And, you know, like, you're a kid in my office, you're the only kid in the world. And when COVID happened, it took that away from me. I think it took away from every nurse in schools. You know, you didn't have that comfort level. You certainly weren't displaying that to a student, but you could feel it on the inside. It was different. Different care. You're delivering a different level of care, I think, for yourself. Like, I can rest my head at night on the pillow really well, knowing that I've worked really hard that day. And I feel like I changed kids for the better. I changed the world a little bit. I do think school nurses do that. And I do know that it feels like that still, but on a whole other level. It's like this community level I can appreciate because I am like this point person, right? Like everything COVID in the school, every question, every family member, every staff, every student, it's like they're coming to me. Because I'm a medical professional, not necessarily a COVID professional, but you kind of become that, you know, whether you want it or not, it's here. So I think what I know of nurses is that we want to know stuff. We want information. So research, just listening to everything you can, knowing what's going on, trends, that's a part of your daily life now. That was not like that before COVID.
With all that responsibility, and maybe I'm assuming, but I feel like I'm hearing from you that you are somebody who really wants to serve. So with all of that demand on you to be of service, how are you keeping yourself whole and healthy and buoyed? And how will you do that this year?
I just had this conversation with my wife last night. I got home last night and I said, right when I got home, I said, you know, I really got to focus on keeping work at work and home is home. I got three kids, two little ones at the house, and I could feel the stress of work in my home all the time. So I think just being cognizant of that, right, and thinking about that, I went home and I said, we were going to check in, me and her, and I said, you know, I'm going to do a little breathing exercise for a couple minutes and then I'll come up. And honestly, I idle on high is what people say about me. I'm ready to go. And that was a change for me to do that. And my wife loved it too. And just being, you know, aware of that every day is, I'm sure it'll be a challenge for me some days, but I think it's important. I want my family to feel like, not feel the stress I feel at work, for sure, you know, but I need that too. And I definitely realize that balance. And then the summer, you know, I had this wonderful summer of just kind of having a break from it all. And it almost felt so necessary to recharge in a way that gave me the time to think about that. So, like, just really appreciate that I had that time to see that I needed that so bad. So I feel like I'm ready, but I got to remember to do that. And everybody's got to remember that. Teachers, everybody. Because school's different, for better or for worse. You know, it is what it is. We just have to take care of ourselves, I think, in a better way.
So you are a mom. Any kids of your own headed into primary school this week, next week?
Yeah, you know, I have, so my oldest, 19, she's at college, Mass College of Art. So I'm on their webpage looking at all their rules and regulations around COVID all the time. And I have two little ones, six-year-old. She is in a nature-based school in the Blue Hills. And my youngest three, he's going into Boston Nature School, which is part of the Mass Audubon. So I'm definitely nervous. There's a part of me that feels like super lucky that I have my kids in this sort of more outdoor school than the traditional public school that I'm working in, right? But it's still, you know, it's there for me still. I'm still worried. But I do have some sense of security that they're outside a little more, so that, I don't know, somehow that calms me a little bit.
You are somebody who will experience both sides of this year. What do you want and need from the families of the kids who are coming into Boston Great Academy this year?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that question. The first thought that comes to mind is just communication. Just telling us what's going on. COVID plays into everything. It plays into the school. It plays into all these environments, your teams, your sports, your work, your job, you know, your friends, anyone that's coming into your home, if you're going into someone else's home. So if you come in contact or think you may be at risk, then just communicate that. Let us know. You know, share with us if you need help with something. We can steer you in the right direction or give you the advice that we think is best, especially me as a nurse, but I also have health services. So Boston Public Schools has the umbrella of health services that does all the contact tracing. There's a case in a school. Health services does contact tracing. They're also a huge resource for testing centers, just on how long do you quarantine, how long do you isolate, all that. I can connect, any nurse in Boston Public Schools can connect you with them to give you that advice. I mean, number one absolute is just communication and mask wearing and just, you know, social distancing, mask wearing, vaccines. Those are all the kind of ventilation, your top mitigation strategies. But communication feels like just number one.
And what do you most want out of this school year? What are you most looking forward to?
You know, I hope that we can somehow balance having education happen in person and dealing with COVID maybe on a day-to-day basis in the buildings, you know, but being able to have kids here and develop the right kind of strategies that are possible with what we've got to have them in the building. I think the perfect balance would be kids in person, COVID still ongoing, a lot less positives, a lot less transmission. If we could somehow get there, I think that would be amazing.
All right. That is Marta Bosmer. She is a registered nurse and a school nurse at Boston Green Academy, which is a high school in Brighton, actually grades 6 through 12. Marta, thank you so much.
Tiziana, thank you.
So WBUR education reporter Carrie Young is still with us. Carrie, your reactions to what we just heard from Marta?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that struck me, I think, was her last comment about one of the most important mitigation strategies this year is going to be communication. And that struck a chord with me because I remember hearing that from both teachers and parents, and even students last year for that matter, just because, you know, when people feel like they're in the dark or having to seek information, you know, maybe they're finding it in the most, maybe not the most trustworthy of sources. Whereas if the information's flowing all the time and pretty regularly, it's a trusted source, you know, that just helps. And also, you know, just the importance of balancing both mental health and also your physical health, because COVID, like Marta said, really impacts everything in your life.
And Carrie, lastly, what is success this year? You know, what are teachers, administrators saying a successful school year looks like by the time June rolls around?
You know, if you had asked me that back in April or May last school year, I would have said that the metric of success might be how well schools caught kids up from the previous year and a half of disruption and hybrid learning. But with this Delta variant, I think how well districts are keeping the disease from spreading out of control is going to be one of the biggest metrics of success this year, you know, in addition to how we're catching kids up. I guess we're just adding to that some things we weren't expecting.
All right. That is WBUR education reporter Carrie Young. Carrie, great to have you. Thanks so much.
Always happy to be here. Thanks.